It's Monday, July 6, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you had an enjoyable three-day weekend. I sure did. I was out at the Olympic Peninsula off of the tip of Washington State. You can check out a couple of brief videos from what they call a beach down there in Washington that I've posted up to my YouTube channel. You can also get those videos up at stash.normal.org. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about the 4th of July celebration. You know, I was up there with my wife's extended family, and my wife's the fifth of 15 kids, so when I'm talking extended, this is really extended. There's like 60 people up there by the time you add up all the kids and the in-laws and the grandkids and so on. And during this celebration, of course, everybody was drinking. There were bottles of every kind of alcohol you could ask for, rum, tequila, vodka, etc., as well as ice chest coolers just chock full of cans of beer and bottles of beer. And of course, no one thought much of that. You know, everybody drinking there was of age. And even though there were children running about, all from age 2 on up to, you know, 17, running all about the campsite, you know, able to get at the coolers. And right there, the bottles are on the table for anyone to be able to get at. And no one thought much of that, as they shouldn't. And yet, me, with my cannabis not drinking, I have to go sneak away to some hidden remote corner of the beach, or back behind in the woods somewhere, lest the children be subjected to the dangers of cannabis. Every year that I'm at some sort of event like that, it just always makes me think of how much we accept alcohol use in this society, and the inebriation that goes with it, and how much we demonize cannabis. One of the relatives there is a man who's about 3 years older than I, has a small child, just gone through a divorce, and he came in to smoke a little with me, but then talked about how he had to give it up because, you know, he had to be an adult now, had to grow up and play Mr. Mom, you know, had to be Mr. Parent, and so on. And yet this same guy is getting drunk during the 4th of July, passing out, crashing in his tent, sleeping most of the next day because of a hangover, while everyone else babysits his kid. So again, you know, it just leads me to think about how we think of alcohol and how people like him think of cannabis as something that you do that's immature or irresponsible and that you grow out of. And yet the cannabis consumers I know are so much more responsible than most of the alcohol drinkers that I know. It's such a perplexing quandary, and that's why I fight every day to try to end this adult marijuana prohibition. It's just insane the way that we think about alcohol and the way that we think about cannabis. Another example, there was a young lady there, a woman who was getting drunk, and she was quite inebriated as the day wore on, to the point where my 11-year-old niece was pointing it out, how drunk she was and how she wasn't making any sense because she was drunk. Ha ha ha, and everybody laughed. And again, it just kind of really bothered me that here I am, not drinking, having to sneak away to the shadows, and yet someone can be publicly intoxicated in front of the children, and it's just funny. I don't know if you have experiences like this, and I'm kind of going stream of consciousness here. It's just something that really affected me this weekend, and I wanted to share it with you. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we're going to start off with your hemp headlines, including a follow-up story. This is a different story, but another story of young middle school girls forced to strip and jump in their underwear because of a drug scare. We take a look at some cannabis science, where scientists have shown that THC helps rats to kick heroin. And a story from our new front page stasher, Jillian, on prohibition and its danger to Atlanta families. We've also got some grade A reefer madness from the UK, where all the best reefer madness is made, about a 17-year-old chef trainee who was killed by cannabis. In our Monday Normal segment, today we visit with the Normal Legal Committee, and specifically the legal counsel for Normal, Keith Strop, our organization's founder, on his recent essay underscoring the importance of personal cultivation in Normal's legalization model. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we bring you Chief Greenbud from Tennessee, the winner of the American Marijuana Music Awards Best Acoustic, with his tune, A Friend with Weed. And in our second interview segment, Grassroots Activism, we're going to speak with Scott Green, the new executive director of the newly formed Mile High Normal in Denver, Colorado, talking about what it's like to get a normal chapter off the ground. It's the second half of the year, and we're smack dab in the middle of the summer of bud. I hope to see you at one of the hemp fests somewhere around the country, but now it's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Middle school girls made to jump in underwear to test for marijuana. Louisville, Kentucky. On the same day that the U.S. Supreme Court limited the use of strip searches in the public schools, two young women filed an action in Jefferson County Court against a local middle school and several of its employees for using, quote, grossly intrusive, end quote, methods to discover an alleged cache of marijuana. They were allegedly forced to unzip their pants, quote, lift up their bras and jump up and down, end quote. Ashley N. Gaither and S.C., a minor, were 14 and 13, respectively, in 2005 when they say they were, quote, arbitrarily singled out, end quote, while riding a Jefferson County Public Schools bus to Cammer Middle School in Louisville, and then subjected to a day-long interrogation and humiliating searches without being allowed to call their parents. According to the complaint, the incident began when the bus arrived at the school and two employees boarded it in order to resolve a dispute in which the girls were not involved. The employees, quote, smelled what they thought was marijuana, end quote, the complaint states, and five girls seated at the back of the bus, including Gaither and SC, were detained and searched. During an interrogation that lasted the entire school day and after being denied repeated requests to call their parents, the girls were required to, quote, remove their shoes and socks, unbuckle their belts, unbutton their pants, and unzip their pants, end quote, the complaint says. They also had their, quote, waistlines physically touched and searched, end quote, by a male employee while their pants were undone, and were made to, quote, lift up their bras while their shirts remained on and jump up and down, end quote. The searches were all performed behind closed doors and without the presence of police officers or female staff, the suit says. No marijuana was found. This is your country on marijuana prohibition. Any questions? I asked my cousin Kenny, a father of two almost middle school girls, for his take on these stories. He says he hopes I have a savings account with enough money to bail him out for the assault and battery charges he'd rack up for his special interrogation of school officials. I told him, don't worry, I know a lot of lawyers who'd take your case pro bono, and about a 250,000 stashers who'd kick in a fin into the tip jar just to bail you out. THC eliminates heroin dependence in lab rat tests. From RedOrbit.com. Injections of THC, the active principle of cannabis, eliminate dependence on opiates, such as morphine and heroin, in rats deprived of their mothers at birth. This has been shown by a study carried out by Valérie Daugier and her team at Laboratory for the Physiopathology of Diseases of the Central Nervous System in the journal Neuropsychopharmacology. The findings could lead to therapeutic alternatives to existing substitution treatments. Previously, Daugier and her colleagues have shown that rats deprived of their mothers at birth become hypersensitive to the rewarding effect of morphine and heroin, substances belonging to the opiate family, and rapidly become dependent. In addition, there is a correlation between such behavioral disturbances linked to dependence and hypoactivity of the encephalinergic system, the endogenous opioid system. To these rats, placed under stress from birth, the researchers intermittently administered increasingly high doses of THC during the period corresponding to their adolescence. By measuring their consumption of morphine in adulthood, they observed that, unlike results previously obtained, the rats no longer developed typical morphine-dependent behavior. Moreover, biochemical and molecular biological data corroborate these findings. In the striatum, a region of the brain involved in drug dependence, the production of endogenous enkephalins was restored under THC, whereas it diminished in rats stressed from birth which had not received THC. The possibility that marijuana doesn't lead to heroin, it may lead away from heroin. Put this in the Hall of Fame with Michael Phelps killing the amotivational slacker myth, Barack Obama slaying the admitted marijuana users can't get elected rule, and Dr. Tashkin searching for a link to marijuana and lung cancer and instead finding anti-tumoral properties. The evil thing is to think of how much our government already suspects many of these medical marijuana miracles and has actively been suppressing all attempts to research the good marijuana can do. Prohibition putting Atlanta families in danger. From WSB-TV. Officials with the Gwinnett County Police Department said they seized 457 pounds of marijuana and a cache of guns from a Lilburn home. Investigators with the department's drug task force said they received an anonymous tip from a citizen who was concerned about possible drug activity at the house. 457 pounds of marijuana, worth $2,118,293, was located and seized, according to police. Five weapons, including an M16 and AK-47 assault rifles, were also confiscated, along with a large amount of ammunition. Wow! This is right here in Atlanta. These people are here in our city, and they make pot easy for kids to buy, and they bring guns and violence and home invasions right into our communities. It's only a matter of time before it's our door that gets kicked in, and it's us who are tied up and brutalized and killed. What are our legislators doing about it? The police made one lucky catch here, but there are many more of these people in our city right now with their pounds of weed and their guns. They're here to make money. They're here because the federal prohibition on marijuana has driven the price of pot up so high that these people can come here and get filthy rich selling their weed to anybody with money. And they don't care how young their customers are or who gets injured or tortured or killed in the process. We have to take action on this. The prohibition was supposed to keep us safe, but it does not. It's been in place for 70 years, and it does nothing to reduce the amount of marijuana smoked by teenagers, and it does nothing to prevent violent people from coming here and getting rich from selling pot. If the prohibition worked, then after 70 years, stuff like this wouldn't be happening. The prohibition itself is the reason they're here. They come because there's no competition for what they're selling. And every arrest by our police officers and every bust of every illegal seller just clears the way of competition for new people to come here and do the exact same thing. The prohibition has got to go. We have to force these people to leave, and we have to prevent new ones like them from wanting to come here. And the only way we can do this is by ending the prohibition and issuing licenses for reputable businesses to legally produce marijuana and sell it to adults with after-tax prices set too low for these people to compete. Don't let your kids get arrested for buying pot from these people, and don't leave your family in danger of being beaten or killed by them. Tell our legislators that they have to end the prohibition and take control of the marijuana market, that they have to allow it to be legally produced and sold to adults, and that they have to regulate it and tax it. The prohibition is an archaic failure. We must end it before it ends us.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Chef, age 17, killed by cannabis.
A teenage trainee chef suffered a fatal heart attack caused by years of smoking cannabis, a coroner has ruled. Hadrian Gardner, age 17, collapsed outside the Cheshire restaurant where he worked on October 7th last year. But Jeff Roberts, deputy coroner for Cheshire, said Hadrian had died, quote, as a result of the direct toxic effects on the heart that the use of cannabis had, end quote.
Excuse me, can someone please explain to me how a non-toxic herb had toxic effects? Coroner Roberts, do you really understand what the word toxic means? As this story made the rounds of my drug law reform contacts through the many reply alls, the reactions were classic. Dr. Franjo Grotenhermann, chairman of the German Association for Cannabis as Medicine, said, quote, "The claim of a heart attack without acute cannabis use is nonsense," end quote. Dr. Ethan Russo, one of the world's leading cannabis researchers and the discoverer of the 5,000-year-old superpot, was chiming in from Paris and wrote simply, quote, "pure fabrication," end quote. And California Normal's Dr. Dale Geringer added, quote, "another alleged cannabis fatality. To me, it sounds like reefer madness," end quote.
The inquest at Macclesfield Town Hall was told that Hadrian had already suffered one heart attack in 2007. On that occasion, doctors had been able to revive him.
Could a person have a heart attack from smoking weed? Yeah, it's possible. Cannabis smoking does have the side effect of tachycardia, which is a fast heartbeat, for some people, and if you have a weak, damaged, or diseased heart, you might want to think about abstaining. Or perhaps if you've had a previous heart attack at the age of 15. So, did Gardner puff a big fatty before keeling over?
Dr. Mark Nickel, who treated Hadrian at Macclesfield A&E Department, said in his report, quote, "This case highlights that cannabis use is potentially life-threatening," end quote. The coroner said, quote, "We have heard how over a period of time, for some years, Hadrian had used cannabis and perhaps other illegal substances."
Whoa, wait a minute. Now we've gone from a teenager killed by
toxic cannabis
to a kid who used
other illegal substances?
So, naturally, the UK media splashes the cannabis use all about the headlines, and these other illegal substances get buried in the final paragraphs. Typical.
Dr. Sally Hales, who carried out the postmortem, found no traces of cannabis or other illegal drugs in Hadrian's body. However, he had an inflammation of the heart, which, she said, was most likely caused by, quote, "a history of using cannabis, amphetamines, and cocaine," end quote.
amphetamines and cocaine used by a teenaged boy with an inflamed heart, a boy who had a heart attack requiring medical revival 2 years ago. But does the headline say chef age 17 killed by drug abuse or killed by speed and coke? No, we get killed by cannabis.
If you want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
Normal National Conference 2009. Yes, we cannabis. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is proud to invite you to our 38th Annual National Conference to be held Thursday, September 24th through Saturday, September 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California at the Grand Hyatt Hotel.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree, as support for legalization tops 50% in some polls, and overwhelming majorities support both medical marijuana and decriminalization, the people are saying, yes, we cannabis.
I think it's time for debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana. Thursday is devoted entirely to medical cannabis with experts in medicine, law, and business who practice in medical marijuana states. Friday and Saturday, you'll learn about the politics, strategy, and social science of legalization at the national and grassroots level, with a special focus on Normal's local chapters.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary, and we're celebrating the successes of 13 medical marijuana states, 13 decrim states, and more bills introduced concerning marijuana law reform than ever before, including 3 bills at the federal level. Thursday, we present the High Times Normal Activist Awards. Friday is a special invitation-only party for Normal chapter leaders, and Saturday is the famous Normal fundraising party.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation, I don't know what this says about the online audience. The answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. NormalCon 2009. Yes, we cannabis. September 24th through 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California. In the marijuana law reform movement, the cannabis community is represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the consumers who use and cultivate cannabis, and the defense attorneys who represent these consumers. These are their stories. It's time for reforming marijuana laws with the Normal Legal Committee. With over 350 practicing attorneys, the NLC is a major force in the fight against marijuana prohibition. These top-notch criminal defense lawyers regularly defend individuals charged with marijuana offenses, and they frequently provide pro bono assistance in important or unusual cases which may set favorable legal precedent or otherwise impact public policy. To join the Normal Legal Committee as an attorney or to find a lawyer for your cannabis defense, visit the Find a Lawyer link at norml.org. Here at Normal, we're tracking all of the marijuana law reforms that are coming through at the federal and the state level. And one telling incident that's happened in the past 3 or 4 medical marijuana bills we've seen has been some capitulation and work with law enforcement here to try to pare these bills down to make them more palatable to the law enforcement community. And one of the terrible things that's happening in these bills is the removal of the patient's right to grow their own marijuana at home. And joining me here to talk about this is the founder of Normal and the legal counsel, Keith Strop. Keith, welcome back to the Stash.
Thanks. It's always nice to be with you, Russ.
You know, this is something that we've been talking about at Normal for a while, and we've got, sometimes we have these detractors out there that say Normal doesn't care about the right to grow. You're all about big money. You want to take it away and put it in pharmacies and dispensaries, et cetera, et cetera. And so it seemed necessary that we codify this and make it clear what Normal has to say about personal cultivation. And I couldn't think of anyone better to make that point than you, Keith. So,
well, at least, or anyone older.
So let's tell the folks out there listening in Normal Land, you know, what is Normal's official position here on personal cultivation?
Well, first I'd like to say that it's not a new position, but I do agree with you. I think it makes perfect sense for us to clarify our position and to give it more prominence in our materials, because clearly some of the more recent people who've gotten involved in the issue seem to have the idea that Normal does not support the right of the individual to cultivate their own marijuana, and that we'd be happy just having some legal market where consumers can go buy it. Well, the truth is, that is not our position. Since the very earliest days of Normal, we have always said we support the elimination of all penalties for the personal possession, use, and cultivation of marijuana for personal use, and we further support the eventual legalization of marijuana, that is, a legally regulated market where consumers can buy their marijuana in a safe and secure environment. But cultivation is a crucial element of any legalization scheme, because without personal cultivation, as consumers, we would largely be at the mercy of the major corporations. It doesn't take a great leap of faith to understand that once marijuana is legalized, once a few states begin to experiment with systems of regulating and taxing and legalizing the market for marijuana for adults, it's likely that the major corporations that own the land where they used to grow tobacco and that own the factories where they used to roll cigarettes could very easily use that same land to grow marijuana and that same machinery and factory to roll and package joints. Now, again, I'm not opposed to that. I think convenience is a fine thing. And as long as the quality of the marijuana that these corporations are offering us as consumers is high quality, as long as it's not taxed in a manner that's exploitative, and just generally that the quality of the marijuana is good. It's not just strength, but it also has to do with taste and whether it's sativa or indica and various other things that consumers learn to prefer. Well, the only leverage we have against these major corporations once legalization occurs is the threat that if they do not offer us high-quality marijuana that we're satisfied with, we will simply ignore their marijuana and go grow our own. So it's not that I think most marijuana smokers are going to grow their own marijuana. Most alcohol drinkers do not make their own alcohol, yet we're technically allowed to distill, I think it's up to 50 gallons of alcohol in our homes. Almost nobody I've ever known has done that, but we are legally allowed to, and similarly, we should be legally allowed to grow marijuana for personal use, and it should be none of the government's business. And if, in fact, the commercial market do not offer us a quality product, then the hell with them. We'll simply grow our own marijuana.
I think it'd also be a good stopgap measure against onerous regulations on the government side of things, saying that these corporations can only make, let's say, 5% THC or whatever. It would also protect us from the government interest.
You're absolutely right, Russ. It's not just the idea the corporations might try to sell us an inferior product, but the government might try to require that it be some weak version of marijuana that's simply not going to satisfy consumers. And if that's the case, then again, we'll just go around their system and grow our own. So, again, it's not a new position. It's when we founded Normal in late 1970, it was largely the result of some work I had done with Ralph Nader back in those early years. And I had worked on a presidential commission called the National Commission on Product Safety. And Ralph was wonderful in that he really understood the power of consumers. And initially he was working with unsafe cars, you know, the Corvair. Mm-hmm. But eventually he expanded out to unsafe products generally from the consumer perspective. Well, I was impressed by that. I spent 2 years working for that presidential commission. And when it came to an end, it seemed to me that the consumer issue that was most important to my generation was legalizing marijuana. Many of us had been turned on when we were in college and law school. Many of us were against the war in Vietnam, and this was, I was coming out of law school in 1968, just at the height of those anti-Vietnam war demonstrations. And in fact, as you attended those demonstrations, one of the things that you could hardly ignore, but there were large numbers of people openly smoking marijuana at those demonstrations. It was a way for us to say, not only do we oppose your war in Vietnam, but there are a number of other things we don't approve of about your current value system, and one of them is allowing a dangerous drug like alcohol to be sold and tobacco to be sold, but making it a crime to smoke marijuana. So, again, it was, we have been, had a consumer perspective from the earliest days of normal, and that consumer perspective is only protected if we make sure that any law that's passed includes the right of the individual to grow their own marijuana. And it doesn't matter whether they're smoking it for fun, for pleasure, as a medicine. It just doesn't matter. It's none of the government's business. If we don't like the product they're offering, we should be allowed to grow our own.
Now, you mentioned the medical use, and that's a lot of where this this issue comes from, is these recent bills in Minnesota, New York, New Hampshire, and so on, where they've, you know, taken away the right to grow at home. And I guess this is their attempt to kind of work around the prohibition of social use, saying, okay, we're going to let you have medical use, but only if you get it from a dispensary where we can tightly control it. What would you say to the people who are fighting for those initiatives, and they're going to say, you know, well, you know, the patients need the medicine. If this is the only way we can get the bill passed, how can we not do it?
Well, frankly, I don't think it is the only way you can get a bill passed. If it might be, I understand. There are some situations where the politics is so close in a state legislature that you might delay for a year or two having the required number of votes if you insist on personal cultivation. But I think at most that's going to be rare, and it's only going to be a year or two. In most states, there's a substantial majority of the population that now support a patient's right to smoke marijuana as a medicine if a doctor recommends it. And it doesn't bother them that the patient has the option of growing their own marijuana. So again, I agree with you. I think the reason those last couple or three states have excluded personal cultivation is some fear that somehow if you allow the individual patient to grow their own medicine or a caregiver to grow their own medicine, that somehow the state's going to lose control. Well, we have 13 states out there that have legalized medical use. All but three of them, I think, do allow personal cultivation, and I haven't seen any problems. The state didn't go to hell in a handbasket. There wasn't any increase in abuse levels or anything like that. So I would suggest that those advocates who are too willing to trade off personal cultivation need to give that another review, and I suspect the majority of them will come to realize that we would recommend it normal. Don't support any bill unless it includes the individual's right to cultivate their own marijuana for personal use.
Mm-hmm. From the other side of this debate about personal cultivation and home grow, sometimes we get people coming from, let's say, a far libertarian side of the argument, wanting to have no controls over marijuana, no taxation whatsoever, keep the government out of my business, I can grow as much as I want, often as I want, in my home if I want to. Where does Normal stand as far as the line between commercial taxation and regulation versus personal freedom to grow at home? Is there a plant limit you'd recommend or anything like that?
Well, what we have always said is that we recognize that we need some regulation and control over the marijuana market in order to make sure that it's not available to kids and to make sure that it's that there are reasonable taxation provisions, assuming that a state elects to use marijuana as a method to raise revenue. Now, keep in mind, if we were in a perfect world and if there were no precedents in this area, I can understand one might say, well, we've got enough government in our lives and we've certainly got enough taxation, and so the perfect system would be just get the government out of our way. We don't need any regulation. We'll be responsible on our own. Frankly, if we took that position, I don't think we would ever get marijuana legalized. There are a majority of people in this country who don't smoke marijuana themselves, who aren't that familiar with it, but who have a what they believe is a a well-founded concern that we need to keep kids away from illicit drugs, period, whether it's marijuana or alcohol or anything else. If they're underage, we ought to try to discourage use by people underage. Similarly with taxation, I understand that if one is a true libertarian, you may oppose all taxation. You may believe in a totally free market and let the market reign. But you're in a very minority position politically in this country. We couldn't run our state and federal governments if we didn't have some way to pay for them. And there are a lot of essential functions that the government provides to its citizens. So Normal has always taken a more mainstream approach on this. We don't insist on what the legalization system looks like. We simply insist that we have a legally regulated market where we can buy our marijuana in a safe and secure environment, and if the market that they offer is not one that satisfies our needs, then we need the right to cultivate our own marijuana, and with that way we don't have to go to get part of that system that we don't believe in. So we're not purists in that regard, but I think the purists will find that they're never going to get marijuana legalized. If we want to stop the arrest of more than 800,000 Americans every year on marijuana charges, then we're going to have to figure out some system that takes us from criminal prohibition to a legally regulated market.
All right. And one last question here with regard to the medical side of things and these initiatives and bills. Do you fear that the institution of these forced sort of dispensary systems where people can't grow at home, do you fear that leads to a situation like the federal investigative new drug program and the inferior quality of marijuana they get?
Well, yes. I mean, frankly, without the right to grow your own, and if the only legal market for medical marijuana is going to be a monopolized market controlled by the state, then I do not see how we avoid a situation where they begin to put limits on the strength, and the tendency is in those situations to produce an inferior product. Now, that may not be the case. It may prove over a period of time that these states that have elected not to include personal cultivation, they may come back and rethink that. They may come back and give their consumers that right, at a later time. Or it may be they'll go ahead and provide a nonprofit dispensary that provides high quality marijuana that the consumers can afford. But there's no way for us to guarantee that result without personal cultivation. So again, I think it is crucial to getting us from criminal prohibition to where we want to go, which is legalized marijuana. I don't see how we get there with any political leverage unless we insist on personal cultivation.
Excellent. Well, Keith Stropp is the founder of Normal and Normal's legal counsel, joining us here from Washington, D.C. Thank you for your insight on the matter, and we want to point people out to the essay that has been written about this. It's up on Normal's personal use pages at norml.org. We'll provide a link from the stash so you can get there quite easily. And, hey, Keith, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Russ. It's always my pleasure.
There were 765,000 marijuana arrests in 2007. That's not for dealers and kingpins, no, that's just for simple possession. Multiply that by the average cost of each arrest, and what have you got? $7.6 billion spent on people just smoking some pot. That's enough money to buy health insurance for every child that needs it. That's enough cash to adopt every stray dog and enough left over to feed it. Mr. Obama, I kinda wrote this song for you. You got my vote for change. Now let's see what you can do.
Visit norml.org today. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Here's some great music and oh-so-true lyrics from Chief Greenbud in today's toker tune, A Friend with Weed is a Friend Indeed. Today's tune won 2009 American Marijuana Music Awards Best Acoustic Song. Chief Greenbud was a huge success at this year's AMMA, winning a total of 4 awards. His career is flying high with a self-titled new CD out, MMA award wins for the last 2 years, and favorable reports in the media about his work. Music News Nashville recently said of Chief Greenbud's CD, quote, "Many songwriters out there could take lessons from the quality of Chief Greenbud's work. Critics would be hard-pressed to discount the talent demonstrated throughout the CD," end quote. Chief Greenbud is in popular demand on the underground concert and festival circuit. To keep updated about the Chief, check out myspace.com/CGB. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's the 2009 American Marijuana Music Awards Best Acoustic Song, A Friend with Weed by Chief Greenbud.
There are times when the whole damn town is dry, and the stash you saved for summer didn't make it to July. I know it feels like forever till the harvest's of September. So if you need to catch a buzz, you're welcome anytime. 'Cause a friend with weed is a friend indeed. You don't have to scrape your bowl, smoke on stems and seeds. I'll share my sack, I've got your back. You do the same for me, don't you agree? That a friend with weed is a friend indeed. You'd be surprised how many folks smoke pot. I've known teachers, doctors, lawyers. Hell, I even knew one state cop. When they burn their last ones down and their dealers can't be found, you know that they'll call on me, 'cause I'll share what I've got. 'Cause a friend with weed is a friend indeed. You don't have to scrape your bowl or smoke on stems and seeds. I'll share my sack, I got your back. You do the same for me, don't you agree? That a friend with weed is a friend indeed. Yeah, a friend with weed is a friend indeed. That's right.
You be my friend. I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug law reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists who are peaceably assembling to petition our government for a redress of our grievances, specifically regarding our inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness through the use of cannabis for medical, social, and personal reasons. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we are pro-marijuana. Every Monday, we take some time to talk to the citizens in local normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition in this segment we call Grassroots Activism. We're helping people start normal chapters all around the country. And if you're interested in getting organized and fighting for an end to adult marijuana prohibition, just send me an email at stash@normal.org. Joining us here today, this Monday, is another young man who's getting started in ending marijuana prohibition, Scott Green from Denver, Colorado. And Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm glad to have you here. And you are the new executive director, is that it, right, for Mile High Normal?
That's correct.
Okay, Mile High Normal, based in Denver, Colorado. What made you want to get started in forming a normal chapter?
Basically, something needs to change. My friend runs Orange County Normal in California and has done a good job with that for about 6 years. And she's originally from Denver, and she's been harping on me to get a chapter started out here. And I thought it was a great idea, and the wind's at our back, so what a better time than now.
Yeah, Denver's a really good place to get started. I mean, you got Amendment 20, your medical marijuana law there. There's a burgeoning dispensary movement in the medical marijuana, but also on the non-medical side, as far as social use of marijuana, you've got the SAFER organization. Denver, I believe, passed an ordinance making marijuana possession a fine only. Can you tell us a little bit about the political atmosphere you're working in there?
It's actually pretty decent out here in Colorado, like you said, for the medical and just the recreational use. There is actually a little bit of things changing out here with the Colorado Department of Health has a meeting scheduled for Monday the 20th, and I believe, members of Colorado Normal will be speaking there, but what they're trying to do is regulate the caregivers to 5 in Colorado, and so that's a big... That's a big thing they're trying to do right now on Monday the 20th. So we're asking everybody who can have the day, you know, show up down there. You can find out more information on our website, milehighnormal.org.
That's right, milehighnormal.org. And their calendar is also integrated with the national normal calendar.
That's right.
So check out normal.org/calendar, and you can get the information for when to show up and where to show up on that July 20th meeting. This is the dispensary killing language they want to try to put in here, because the dispensaries are acting as caregivers. And of course, if you limit them to 5 patients only, nobody can run a business that way.
Exactly.
Now, as you started up this Mile High Normal chapter, did you get a lot of support and help from the other Colorado Normal chapters?
Yes, we have, actually. A lot of people have been willing to, you know, show us their guidance and support any way possible. I also got a lot of guidance from the legal seminar that Normal had up in Aspen. We attended that for the first time, and that was really cool, really informative. There's a bunch of other, you know, grassroots chapters out here, not so much as Normal, but, you know, the Colorado... get this right, the Colorado Coalition for Marijuana, and we do rallies at the end of every month, so they're really supportive of us. You know, a bunch of the dispensaries have gone around and have let them know what we're doing and got permission to stick their name on the website, and they're really supportive as well. So yeah, a lot of no real negative sides as of yet, but
that's great. Did you find any difficulties in trying to get your chapter started? What was the hardest part?
No, not at all. The hardest part was really getting everybody together and getting everybody organized. I mean, everything fell into place once that happened, you know. Got our permits and everything, and got, you know, Normal's permission to do it. So everything was pretty easy. You guys make it pretty easy for us to go about doing this.
All right. Well, for someone out there who's listening, who might not be in as friendly a state as Colorado, what sort of advice would you offer them as far as trying to get people organized?
Start a normal chapter right away in their area. Start a normal chapter, contact their representatives, find out who their senators are, find out who their, you know, council members are in their city that they live in, and just start bugging them, start talking to them about medical, you know, medical and recreational use. So
All right. Yeah. Now, when you, did you find that once you had formed the chapter and got the website up there, that the it was just kind of word of mouth brought people to you, or did you have to do a lot of advertising?
No. I mean, we're on a shoestring budget, so advertising was out of the question. It's all word of mouth, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter. We're all over the place on there. And as soon as, you know, we put the name up and told people that we were in Denver, they started coming out of the woodwork, which is really cool.
Oh, that's great.
Which I knew it would happen. You just got to let them know that you're out there, word of mouth. And well, in the past, been around 2 weeks and already probably got about 10 people signed up and ready to go. So that's cool.
Well, that's excellent. And what sort of plans do you have for the upcoming year as far as rallies or events that you want to hold?
Okay, well, we rally at the end of every month at State Capitol, right in the West Side. Every Saturday, last Saturday of the month, we will be there from 3:30 to 4:30. So please, if you're in the Colorado area, come on down and show your support. We are working on the first Denver Hemp Fest to go along with the 420 rally that happens here. That's so great. We're trying to work with a bunch of vendors around town, set up shop, make a nice little hemp fest out of it. But that's not for next year. And this year, you know, just a lot of rallies, a lot of supports, going to the concerts, setting up shop, setting up booths, handing out flyers, you know, trying to get members.
Yeah. Is this new to you, doing this political activism? Is this something you've always been involved with in other causes or anything?
This is very new for me.
Yeah.
It's a learning. I'm taking each step, learning as we go. Anybody with any ideas out there, I'd love to, you know, love to hear about them.
I'm going to assume that your involvement in the cannabis community isn't a brand new thing, right?
No, that is not.
Okay.
Right. I've been involved with cannabis community probably 15 years now.
Okay. So what is it? What was the thing that sparked it for you that made you say, you know, I got to stop just being, you know, watching the world go by and I got to do something to change it? What was there an event that happened or a news story that you just said, wow, that's enough. I got to change things.
Some of the news stories about some of these medical patients that are being harassed daily by the, you know, by the federal government, that kind of changed this on the personal aspect. You know, I'm not a medical patient, but I'm a recreational user, and I have had a few run-ins with the law, you know, just for simple possession.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really ruined things for me, you know, getting jobs.
Yeah.
I think personal that's life, you know, people look down upon me, and then I just wanted to, you know, change that and spread the word that it's not that bad.
Yeah, you know, I think that motivates a lot of people. You know, a lot of people go through their life using cannabis and most of us never have any sort of incident with police or any sort of problems. And so a lot of people don't think about it as a big deal, or they think, well, if I get busted, it's just a ticket, no big deal. But it really is a big deal when you start thinking about the job opportunities, the way people look at you and so on. So I'm not surprised to hear that as a reason from you, and I'm really glad that got you motivated.
Yeah, and it's hindered my ability. You know, I have a good job, day job right now, but I've lost, you know, opportunities to get job because of a simple possession ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Something that wouldn't have happened to you had you been drinking a beer.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just not fair.
Exactly. And we're in Denver, Colorado, home of Coors.
Yeah. So. Well, Scott, before I let you go, let me give you a chance to give out your contact information for Mile High Normal. So if people are listening, they want to get involved, how can they get in touch with you?
They can contact us at milehighnormal.org. Email us at info@milehighnormal.org. We're on MySpace. Just type in Mile High Normal. We're in Facebook groups. We're on Twitter, mile_high_normal. I'm all over. I'm all over Twitter, MySpace, and Facebook. Those are great networking tools that put the word out and you spread like wildfire on those things.
So basically, if someone goes out to their computer and types in Mile High Normal, they're going to hit you somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would love for that to happen. Please come on.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Scott. And
thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, before we let you go, anything else you want to say to the listeners out there at the Stash?
I will see you guys in September in San Francisco. We're booking our plane tickets in the next week or so, getting everything all lined up, and I can't wait for that. And can't wait to see you guys down at a rally at the end of every month down at the Capitol.
Right on. Well, Scott Green, Executive Director of Mile High Normal, I'll see you there in San Francisco at NormalCon 2009. And thanks so much for putting together a group there in Denver. This is great to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis.
We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our audio stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with shout-outs for all you normalizers out there looking to get normal chapters started in your area. I've got a whole bunch of emails that have been buried over the weekend that I'm getting to throughout the week, so if you've recently emailed looking to start a chapter, hold on tight, I'll definitely get to you. For those of you out there in Duluth and Salt Lake City and Fargo and Lincoln and West Palm and all these places that have been emailing me, United States Virgin Islands even, we're going to get you chapters out there real soon. Just work with us. We'll get you organized. We'll get you into a nonprofit status. And the next thing you know, you'll be holding festivals and passing out flyers and passing laws and having fun like all the other normal chapters in the country. If there's anything I can do to help you out, please send me an email at chapters@normal.org. I will get to it, I promise. Just these long weekends, it kind of builds up. Thanks for downloading the podcast. Appreciate it. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.